By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Let's listen to the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
والذین کذبوا بآیاتنا صم وبکم فی الظلمات
اور جنہوں نے ہماری آیتیں جھٹلائیں بہرے اور گونگے ہیں اندھیروں میں
من یشاء اللہ یضلل وَمَن يَشَأْ يَجْعَلْهُ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ
اللہ جسے چاہے گمراہ کرے اور جسے چاہے سیدھے رستے ڈال دے
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةُ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدْعُونَ إِن كُنتُم صَادِقِينَ
تم فرماؤ بھلا بتاؤ تو اگر تم پر اللہ کا عذاب آئے یا قیامت قائم ہو کیا اللہ کے سوا کسی اور کو پکارو گے اگر سچے ہو
بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدْعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِن شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ
بلکہ اسی کو پکارو گے تو وہ اگر چاہے جس پر اسے پکارتے ہو اسے اٹھا لے اور شریکوں کو بھول جاؤ گے
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ
اور بے شک ہم نے تم سے پہلی امتوں کی طرف رسول بھیجے تو انہیں سختی اور تکلیف سے پکڑا کہ وہ کسی طرح گر گڑائیں
فَلَوْلَا اِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ
تو کیوں نہ ہوا کہ جب ان پر ہمارا عذاب آیا تو گر گڑائے ہوتے لیکن ان کے تو دل سخت ہو گئے اور شیطان نے ان کے کام ان کی نگاہ میں بھلے کر دکھائے
فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ
پھر جب انہوں نے بلا دیا جو نصیحتیں ان کو کی گئی تھی ہم نے ان پر ہر چیز کے دروازے کھول دیے یہاں تک کہ جب خوش ہوئے اس پر جو انہیں ملا تو ہم نے اچانک انہیں پکڑ لیا اب وہ آس ٹوٹے رہ گئے
فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
تو جڑ کاٹ دی گئی ظالموں کی اور سب خوبیوں سراہا اللہ رب سارے جہاں کا۔
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ۔
تم فرماؤ، بھلا بتاؤ تو اگر اللہ تمہارے کان آنکھ لے لے اور تمہارے دلوں پر مہر کر دے تو اللہ کے سوا کون خدا ہے کہ تمہیں یہ چیزیں لا دے۔
انظر کیف نصرف الآیات ثم هم یصدفون۔
دیکھو ہم کس کس رنگ سے آیتیں بیان کرتے ہیں پھر وہ منہ پھیر لیتے ہیں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ Dear viewers of Madinah Channel, alhamdulillah, azzurra, we have listened to the glorious Quran Surah Al-An'am. So Dear viewers of Madinah Channel, over a year, 12 minutes, you can read a lot. Now we've just listened to the tilawat as well as the translation in a slow and steady, it wasn't fast, it was, you know, nice and slow in a beautiful manner. About 4 minutes, how many ayat did we cover? Only a few, you know, a few ayat. Imagine reading it for 12 minutes at your own pace, comfortable pace, reading it to yourself, my dear viewers. And imagine how much you could get covered, inshallah. So make it a practice. And even better if you do read the translation along with it. Or even if, let's just say, you only read 3, 4, 5 ayat each and every single day, but you read this along with the tafsir, the explanation of the glorious Quran, then even better, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah. So set out, what, 12 minutes if you're, you know, so busy. There's always time, by the way. It's just about how much time we take out. So if you do take out about 12 minutes, maybe you can take out more. Just at least set 12 minutes aside, my dear viewers. So 12 minutes. And if you wish to read longer, you read longer. That's up to you. But a minimum, have this minimum time, duration in your mind that inshallah, every single day, I'm going to be reciting 12 minutes. And really, within about 2 months, 3 months, you will, inshallah, every 2 or 3 months, you will be able to comfortably complete the glorious Quran. I think, I'm not sure, to be honest, when it comes to 12 minutes. Also, different people will read at a different pace. Just what's important is to read it properly, not to read it fast, not just to finish it, but to read it properly, to read it steadily, inshallah, with good intention, and you shall gain reward. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we are going to move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds. The most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And viewers, let's listen to the Naat Sharif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Mere Nabi salli ala, salli ala, salli ala. Pyare Nabi salli ala, salli ala. میرے نبی صلی اللہ، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ، در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ۔ میرے نبی صلی اللہ، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ، در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ۔ مٹتے ہیں جا بھر کے عالم مدینے میں، مٹتے ہیں جہاں بھر کے عالم مدینے میں، بگڑے ہوئے بنتے ہیں سب کام مدینے میں، بگڑے ہوئے بنتے ہیں سب کام مدینے میں، بگڑے ہوئے بنتے ہیں، بگڑے ہوئے بنتے ہیں سب کام مدینے میں۔ میرے نبی صلی اللہ، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ، در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی، پیارے نبی صلی اللہ۔ آقا کی عنایت ہے ہر گام مدینے میں، آقا کی عنایت ہے ہر گام مدینے میں، ہوتا نہیں کوئی بھی ناکام مدینے میں۔
نبی صلی آلا پیارے نبی صلی آلا در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی آلا
اے حاجیوں رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام سے اے حاجیوں رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام سے اے حاجیوں رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام سے لے جاؤ غریبوں جا لے جاؤ غریبوں جا پیغام مدینے میں
میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ
آجا گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے آؤ آجا گناہگاروں آجا گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے آؤ آجا گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے آؤ سرکار کی رحمت تو سرکار کی رحمت تو ہے عام مدینے میں
میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ
دربار میں جب پہنچو اے کاش شاہ اس دم دربار میں جب پہنچوں پہنچوں دربار میں جب پہنچوں اے کاش شاہ اس دم دربار میں جب پہنچوں اے کاش شاہ اس دم دیدار کا ہو جائے دیدار کا ہو جائے ان عام مدینے میں
میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ
عطار پہ اب ایسا اے کاش کرم ہو جائے عطار پہ پھر ایسا اے کاش کرم ہو جائے مکے میں سار گزرے تو شام مدینے میں مکے میں سار گزرے تو شام مدینے میں
میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ در پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی
اللہ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of Madrin channel, Alhamdulillah Azzurul, we have a beautiful topic for yourselves today. What is today's topic? Inshallah Azzurul, that we shall find out very, very soon. First, mashallah, we have our guest joining us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Jazakallahu khairan for joining us. Alhamdulillah Azzurul, we have a beautiful topic for yourselves, halal or haram income. This is what we should be speaking about today. Haram income. Now, there's so much when it comes to haram income. Mm-hmm. Some people know they've got a haram income. Other people don't know they've got a haram. Let's begin with this, in fact. Knowing or not knowing about your income of itself.
Again, you know, why would someone not know that they are earning haram money? Because Islam has, you know, laid out all the principles of earning halal. You need to understand the deen. When you are baligh and salah is obligatory upon you, you learn the rulings of salah. Mm. In the same way, when you are now fit enough and you are healthy enough and you are old enough to go to work, try to learn the principles of work as well. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to only let those people come into the market who understood the rules of buying and selling. You know, so this was a principle that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, adopted to teach the people. Now, alhamdulillah, if we are going to work, ask yourself, am I going to be, you know, is it halal income? We don't ask them, you know why? Because Mufti Sahib might turn around and say, no. So I might not be able to work in that place and I need that job. It's not always having that particular job that's going to be good for you. A few times where Islam brothers, oh, Hafsa, I'm working in this place here. Is it jais for me? And you say to yourself, okay, inshallah, let me ask Mufti Sahib. And you come back to him, oh, but I definitely need a job. It's not good for you. In some of the cases, what happened is they worked in that place, you know, a few weeks or months down the line, it's closed. And, you know, they're on the dole again, as they say. So they're without a job. But sometimes when these people leave that job, they get a better, you know, a more sustainable job later on as well. So always, I think that do your research, ask the Mufti Sahib, am I doing this job? Is it halal or is it haram? If it's haram, or even if you're in a doubt, leave it. Wallahu khairur raziqeen. Allah is the one who is, you know, who gives rizq. So Allah Ta'ala is Qadir over that. Leave it in the court of Allah, you'll be better, inshallah.
Okay, so now those people who, one, not knowing obviously is a big problem. Because we need to know. But then there's some people who know that this, you know, this. Now this is why, as you say, sometimes they don't even ask. Because they know. And in fact, sometimes the other way around. Sometimes they think it's haram and it's not too. I don't know if you've come across cases, like this. Cases like this. Some people say, he's doing this and this is haram. Or, you know, I had the option to do it, but I didn't do it because they were thinking it's haram. So I think, and I should tell you one thing about experience, Hafsab, is, you know, when it comes to this, it's shocking because let's just say there's something haram and they were to come and ask. And I'd be like, oh yeah, this is not permissible, you know, because of this or whatever it may be. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, but because shouldn't it be due to this or this or this? They try to change it. But perhaps I would say the other way around too. Now, if they were to say something, I think that's haram, isn't it? They'd say, no, this is actually permissible. And they'd be like, yeah, but this. And then like, but, you know, Mufti Anikram have given ijaza because of this. And so it's like they try to make it. People just go more with their own logic rather than going with.
That's the problem we have. You know, people are using logic too much. And easy thing is, alhamdulillah, we have Darul Iftah. We've got scholars, mashallah.
By the way, well, just one thing I want to pick up on. It's not that they're using their logic, but they're using it wrong. Because alhamdulillah, one thing we find is this is in accordance with logic. Alhamdulillah, Azzurra, the rulings that are completely...
Again, you know, you need to understand, you know, the viewers, that if a Mufti Sahib tells you that this is jais, don't argue with him. You know, don't, because he's the one who's knowledgeable. You know, when it's to do with the deen and the rulings of Shariat, you won't go to a mechanic or a taxi driver to ask him, what's the ruling? You'll go to a Mufti Sahib. Now, why did you go to Mufti Sahib? It's because he knows the deen. And when he guides you on something, you know, just close your eyes and go accordingly. We need to understand that when it comes to halal earning, it's not just the earning itself, it's the aftermath of that as well. You know, your children, yourself, your family, when they eat that haram, you know, it says that when haram stays in your stomach, your du'as are not accepted. So your du'as are not accepted. There was this guy, he used to sell alcohol, and he got a fatwa from Mufti Sahib that it's not jais, you know, don't go into that business, because there was a lot of Muslims in that area as well. So there were chances that Muslims would buy as well. So Mufti Sahib said, look, get out of that, don't buy. He goes, but Mufti Sahib, but this, but that. So Mufti Sahib said that, look, my duty is to give you the rulings. It's up to you to make that decision. Now, what happened? He carried on. Now, when he carried on, the end result, what was it? His own sons who worked in that shop, they became alcoholics.
Allah.
Yeah. So that, what happened is that earning was haram. Because of that haram earning, you know, his sons have fallen into that sin again. You know, so both of his sons, alcoholics, they might not drink in front of their father. I've certainly seen them as well. And it feels really sad that, look, just because of money, you know, you went into that and look what you lost. You lost your children as well.
What happens, Hafsab, as well, is that at first they might not do it in front of the father. But then, let's just say the father finds out, but I may tell him off, and then they're doing it again, and then again they continue to do it, then they'll do it in front of the father too. Allahu Akbar, it's sad reality, Hafsab. Alcohol lies. And I'm just wondering, why is it that he went and even asked? This is something generally everybody knows, 10 things in regards
but
to
you
alcohol.
Know what it is? Some people, you know, do have this... in their, you know, sixth sense, I call it the sixth sense, okay, oh, it's jais, you know, what's wrong with you? We're not drinking it ourselves. But again, go to a Mufti Sahib, clarify everything. And, you know, I know so many shopkeepers. There's an Islamic brother I know, you know, he bought a shop from someone. They used to sell alcohol. So what he's done is taken all that section out and he sells other stuff. So, for example, it wasn't a newsagent shop anymore at first, yeah. So he's taken alcohol out and he's put newsagents there. Yeah, so he's done a few other things as well. He's done top-ups and everything. Right. Now, what's happened is there's more barakat in his earning now.
MashaAllah. Hafsa, a lot of people complained, oh, that, yeah, I always do dua, but my dua is never accepted. This is one thing they don't consider.
Yeah, but they don't consider, you know, why is it, you know, they don't go to the root cause of that. You know, in the Quran it says, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. You know, indeed, salah keeps you away from bad and indecency. Mm-hmm. Now, does salah keep you away from bad and indecency? No doubt it does. So why is it that when I offer my salah, it doesn't keep me away from bad? I go and commit the same sins again. There's nothing wrong with the salah. The hukum of Allah is 100%. There's something wrong in me. And we say, I don't know why my du'as are not accepted. Look at yourself. Look at your earnings. You know, look at your daily routine. There'll be loads of things that that person will be doing. And all you need to do is just comprehend and, you know, you'll find all the answers for you. You know, people, they say, you know, I don't know what I've done really. Do you offer your salah? Do you know, do you fast in the month of Ramadan? I do get when I get the opportunity. This is the opportunity. The 30 days for Ramadan is an opportunity. Your 5 times salah is an opportunity. If you don't do any of that, what do you expect? You know, you, and then, you know, these people, they say, oh, well, but he doesn't. He's all right. He doesn't have any problem. That doesn't mean that Allah, that's a test for him. Sometimes Allah will test you by not giving you wealth. Sometimes Allah will test you by giving a lot of wealth. Sometimes Allah will test you, no one will know you. Sometimes Allah will test you where you'll be very famous. People will be running after you. But that's a test for you. You know, Amir al-Sunnah talks about khufiya tadbir, the secret planning of Allah. We don't know where that secret planning of Allah is. Always, you know, like if you get ill, you know, you go to a doctor, don't you? Doctor, you know, then you do your checks. Yeah, why do you do all that for? It's because you want to find out what the problem is. Amir al-Sunnah says, you know, waqtan for waqtan, now and then, what you need to do is go to a Mufti sahab, sit with him and say, right, Mufti sahab, this is what I'm doing. Is it halal? So if Mufti sahab gives you the green tick, then that means carry on. A while later, you know, 6-7 months, year down, Mufti sahab, I've added this thing as well. Is this jais? And alhamdulillah, you'll be 100% that you're going on the straight path. And that is what success is. Money isn't success. I have seen people with money, and seriously, they're begging on the streets now. So if you think that money is something that is, you know, that's going to keep
money and fame. Some people, money and fame, celebrities, and then, you know, they go into drugs or whatever it may be, and they've lost everything. This happens many a time. Hafiz Saab, what would you say, what advice would you give for somebody who they have been earning a haram income? They understand they've been earning a haram income, but they regret it. They wish to change. What would you advise them?
You know, the first thing is that regret is a tawbah itself. Yeah, I'll give you an example. You know, we've got Dawat Islami Nath Khan, mashallah, Junaid Sheikh Bhai. Yeah, you know, he's when he did tawbah from songs and all that, Amir Ahle Sunnat said to him that, son, you know, the earning that you have been having before, it was all haram. Give it away and start a fresh life. And look at that guy. He gave everything away, started a fresh life, and he's a Jamia teacher in Jamiatul Madinah now. Cool. He's teaching. He's become a scholar. He's done the 8-year scholarship course, and now he's teaching. He's still a Nath Khan. You know, where he was singing songs, now he's a Nath Khan. He's part of Dawat Islami, and alhamdulillah, he's earning a very good, you know, halal income. He's enjoying his life. Why? Number one, do tawbah and immediately start to do that. Heart can change any second. So don't leave it too late that, and you might meet a few people, oh, pagal hai tu, what are you doing? Hey, Maulvi hai, main mar rahe hai. And then the people start to give ideas. Oh, look at that, Maulvi sahab, he does that. So again, ghibtana silsila. Make that decision and make it now that, okay, from now on, everything's going to go, I'm going to start a fresh life. And I can guarantee you, you might not be able to earn as much as before, but whatever you earn, inshallah, there will be barakah in that.
This is important too, barakah, Hafiz Saab. Because we do the concept of barakah, sometimes we don't understand. So we think, you know, less money versus more money.
More money.
This is all there is. But what's less, what's more, barakah plays a huge role. An example which could be given is, let's just say, chapatis. One person eats one chapati and that, you know, he's content, that suffices him. Another person will have to eat 2, 3, 4. Only then does it suffice him. So this is a difference in barakah, my dear viewers. Inshallah, within that one, they may, if there's barakah, then that one will be sufficient for this person. If there's no barakah in it, he'll have to eat 4 or 5, or, you know, only then will he be full. Only then will you be content that I've had a meal.
One of the beautiful tips of getting barakat is share your money. Share your food. That is one of the biggest tips that you know Amir Ahle Sunnat gives. He goes, the more you share with people, the more Allah will give you. I'll tell you a story. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam story, where he saw a man and Allah Ta'ala commanded him that, oh Musa, I have divided this man's life into two. For, you know, he's going to be rich in one part of the life and poor in the second part of his life. Now go and ask him, which part does he want to be rich and which part he wants to be poor? So Musa alayhi salam goes to him and says that, I've been given this divine command. Now what do you want to do? Do you want to be rich in your first part of your life or the latter part of your life? So this person, he goes, oh Prophet of Allah, if you give me a bit of time, let me ask my friends and family. So all of them, they say that, be rich in the second part, because you're now young and energetic. You'll be able to pass through this time. But when you are old and weak, then you'll be rich anyway, so you can enjoy your life. So this person, he thinks, and he goes to Musa alayhi salam and he goes, oh Prophet of Allah, I want to be rich in my first part of my life. Yeah, so Musa alayhi salam made a dua in the court of Allah, and what happened was there was so much animals that were given to him, and that, you know, it just started growing and growing and growing. You know, he became a millionaire, as they say. People used to come to him, please give something in the way of Allah. Allah has given you. You know, that person would say, whatever you need, take it. Allah gave me that. It's not my anything. Ma'akamali, Allah gave me Allah. So he would never say no to anyone. The first part of his life being rich was now over. Thanks. Next part of the life, he was going to be poor. Yeah. So Musa alayhi salam saw him that he was still rich. He goes, Ya Allah, has his second part of his life not started where he's going to be poor? Allah Ta'ala said that, oh Musa, how can I not accept the du'as of all the poor people that he helped and made in my court? For their du'as I have accepted, and I have written all his life as being a rich man. You know, so if you want to be a rich person, and richness is not from with money, it's from the heart as well. If you want Allah Ta'ala to bless you with barakat and blessings, give in the way of Allah. Try to, it doesn't, amount is not the shart, the condition. You could put a penny in the donation box.
Hafiz Saab, is there any such person? In fact, let's first go to the daily reminder, right, inshallah, because we are getting to our... My dear viewers, inshallah, let's go to our daily reminder. Inshallah, we'll give, you know, Hafiz Saab a little rest. Then, inshallah, we'll come back to him. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Beautiful ayah of Quran, such a beautiful glad tiding for the believers. It is about the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and a great hope for the believers. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in Quran, say you, O beloved, O my slaves, all Muslims are truly the slaves of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who have committed excess against their own souls by committing sins, do not lose hope in Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He only is the oft forgiving, the most merciful. So, respected viewers of Madani Shell, you should never be despair of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should never be hopeless from the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. No matter how many grave sins we have done, we should still come back to the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Seek forgiveness. He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He is kind, He is compassionate, He is merciful. He will forgive our sins, inshaAllah azza wa jal. And this is the message from Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azzalil, you are watching Rise and Shine. Mashallah, we've got our Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib with us. Hafiz, I was going to ask you, maybe you can describe somebody who's really, really poor, but really satisfied with their life. Have you come across some sort of extraordinary, you know, something different experience? Something?
In Pakistan, I have met they're old, there are a couple of them, and they'll never come out and, you know, ask you for money. You know, Safed Posh that we say. Now, these people are eligible for zakat, but they will never come to you. And even if you do give them zakat, you know, they say, better I give it to someone else. You know, they might be more in need than me. Yes, and you think to yourself, you know, these guys are eligible themselves. But, you know, alhamdulillah, we don't say it's zakat. You know, this is one thing that when you do give zakat to someone, you don't have to say it's zakat. Mm. Yeah. Just give it to him as a gift. You know, some people
need the intention.
Yeah. So some people think that you have to tell them. Don't tell them that you said you've got to have the intention that you're giving your zakat, but give them to her as a gift. And alhamdulillah, I've seen these guys and I'm very, very, you know, pleased with them, mashallah. Wow. And they're living such a beautiful life. They go, look, when we go to sleep at night, people say, rich people sometimes, you know, the ones who earn, you know, dodgy amount, they'll say that we can't get to sleep, we don't have a medication. These guys say, as soon as we put our head on the pillow, we're gone. Wow. You know, so there's no, and alhamdulillah, they're very, very pious, these people, mashallah. And, you know, like the scholars, they say that when you see these kind of people, ask them to make dua for your iman ki hifazat, you know, alhamdulillah.
How about the other way around? Maybe the richest person, you know, who's...
Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, there are people, you know, who have given big, big donations to Dawat. So they are rich people. Like I said before, giving in the way of Allah isn't about money, it's about the heart. There are so many rich people, alhamdulillah, without their support, Dawat Islami would not be where we are today. You know, they paid tens of thousands of pounds. There was one individual, mashallah, who donated a whole land for Dawat Islami in the UK. And I just, you can imagine how much that, you know, that wealth is. And we're talking about 50, 60 grand.
SubhanAllah, we see it really is about the heart, isn't it? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, who had about 40,000 dirhams, as this mentioned, at the time of Hijrah, he had about 5,000.
SubhanAllah.
And then obviously we later hear Battle of Tabuk is known as his, he gave everything. People, Hazrat Umar Farooq gave half of everything. Hazrat Usman ibn Affan, who's really rich, who's very rich, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the Prophet is asking, is it 300 camels? And then the Prophet is asking again and again, he stands up and says, Ya Rasulullah, I'll give another 300. Some say he gave 6, some say he gave 900 camels along with their lords. So we find rich people giving and we find poor people giving too. And alhamdulillah, it's every little which counts.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you are poor, don't put yourself back. Yeah, Amir al-Sunnah, there was this particular Islamic brother and he gave 10 rupees. He gave 10 rupees to Dawat Islami because that's what he could afford and that's what he had. And Abdullah Bibai, I think he was saying to Nigran Shura that, you know, he needs that money himself. And Abdullah Nigran Shura goes, no, let him give the sadaqah because that sadaqah is going to increase for him. So a poor person, if you can't give a pound, I was talking to a taxi driver, yeah?
Gee.
And he says that, you know, I love to give sadaqah, but I can't do a direct debit for £15 a month. I goes, don't do a direct debit for £15 a month. I'll give you a better way and you'll give more as well. He goes, how? I goes, look, can you afford £1 a month? £1 a day? He goes, yeah, I can afford £1 a day. Now, so what he did was I gave him a donation box. Yeah. I goes, when you leave home in the morning, put 50 pence and say, Ya Allah, give me a good livelihood today and, you know, Ya Allah, keep me safe. So what happens, he works all day, his shift, he comes back and then put another £50 in thank, Ya Allah, I thank you for giving me the opportunity. So now you've given £1. After a month, you say you can't give £15, you've just given £30 a month. You've given double. So alhamdulillah, that could be something. If you can't afford 50 pence, put 10 pence.
There's a brother asking for donations and he gave some money. And he gave £100. And he said, and the reason he gave, he didn't tell me at that point. But that same day, he said he earned £500.
MashaAllah.
And it was like the next day or so, like 1 or 2 days ago. He goes to me, you know, whenever I give, I always gain a lot more. He goes, the other day I gave £100, this is how much I got.
Well, I was looking, listening to an Imam Sahib's bayani, and someone came up to him and he goes, Azad, dua karo ki barkat hua hai. Dubha barkat we are looking for. So he goes, Yara, main dua karna, Allah Ta'ala gives you £1,000,000. So you can give £900,000 in the way of Allah. And he goes, he was shocked. And he goes, why are you shocked? You still got that £100,000. You've only given £900,000. You've still got £100,000 that Allah has given you. Why are you shocked that you're going to give £900,000? When you give sadaqah, give in the way of Allah what you like the most. A majority of people like money. And for example, if I put my hand in my pocket, whatever I have, don't count it. Ya Allah nira, no problem. Wow. Allah orde, see. I wish we can get to that stage. So if you give one, Allah gives you 10. You give £5 in the way of Allah, £1 in the way of Allah, you'll get it 10 folds, but Allah Ta'ala can increase that. Allah. I wish, you know, I myself can believe in that properly.
Brilliant point there. My dear viewers of the channel, let's move to our daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today we will be listening to a hadith regarding false oath. Once a Hadrami, that is a person from Hadramaut, which is a city in Yemen, and a Kindi, which belongs to the tribe of Kinda, brought a dispute to the court of the noble Prophet ﷺ over a piece of land in Yemen. The Hadrami said, "O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, his father has seized my land, which is now in his possession." The Holy Prophet ﷺ asked, "Do you have any witnesses?" He replied, "No, but I will make him swear to Allah that he does not know that I am the owner of this land." The Kindi was prepared to swear the oath. So the beloved Prophet ﷺ said, "The one unlawfully taking someone's wealth by swearing a false oath will be presented in the divine court of Allah in such a state that his hands and feet will have been cut." Listening to this, the Kindi admitted that the land belonged to the Hadrami. Commenting on this hadith, the renowned commenter of hadith and Quran, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, "This is the effect of the blessed tongue that uttered just a few words and changed the entire inner condition, making him tell the truth and withdrawing his claim to the land." Dear viewers of Madani channel, we must refrain from taking false oath as it has been stated in the aforementioned hadith. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was you are watching Rise and Shine, Hafsab, what do you think of haram income? So many people who continue to earn haram, sometimes it may be there may be somebody in our family who is earning haram. What can we do?
I think we need to approach them. You know, don't be shy. And this is the beauty of a Muslim. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Yeah, that we forbid evil and we invite towards goodness. So if you do know anyone in the family that may be doing haram money, sit him down. Our duty is to pass on the message. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Yeah, just pass the message on to them and let them make that decision. But do make dua for them. Don't say, ٹھیک ہے جی مارا کا میں بڑا کھاؤ رہا ہوں اپنی مرضیت سنی. That is bad as well. Don't have that mentality. Make dua that Ya Allah, give him the opportunity. Open his mind, open his heart, and let him accept the truth. Make dua for them as well. And you know, I always say, Ghame Ummat is something that Amir al-Sunnat has taught us. Worry about the Ummat, their situation, and make dua. And especially if that Ummati is your cousin, your relative, your brother, your sister, make a lot of dua for them as well. And try to convince them. You know, in some cases, you might have the power to stop them with your hands. You know, they say there's three states. Yeah, so if you can stop them with your hands, like if I say to her, no, you're not going to do that again. So you might stop, brilliant, do that. And maybe sometime you might say, well, please don't do that. You might, you know, and still, if that is the third stage, is just at least feed bad in your heart. So do talk to them. And I'm sure, inshallah, they're Muslims, inshallah, they will change. See, sometimes these people are not aware what they're doing is wrong. And inshallah, when you tell them, inshallah, they will definitely listen.
Asaf, is there any secret to get rid of greed of wealth? Because that's the reason people are doing it, isn't it?
The secret.
Would you say that's the reason? Is it because of greed of wealth?
That's what Amir al-Sunnat always talks about as well. Okay, you know, one of the reasons of people accumulating a lot of wealth is greed, because they want to be. You know, like they say, the wealth gives you power as well. The more wealth you have, the more powerful you are as well. So people want to be power. We want to show that might of ours in front of people. You know, I give this much money and then people will respect me. Or if you have more money, you can buy other people, you can buy witnesses. So money is power nowadays. But that money, if it's haram, it's only going to be power whilst you are alive or whilst you are in power. Yeah, if you're not in power anymore, then you're going to be in jail. Yeah, where people will accumulate their wealth, and then when they're not in power, everything goes back and they'll be ridiculed, and people will say bad about them and they'll be locked up in jail. Mm. So what's, you know, what have you done? You know, just for a few years of satisfaction, you've destroyed your hereafter as well, because it does destroy your hereafter.
A lot of people do say, you know, you're not going to die with your wealth, but yet they still continue to...
You know, there's a Risala of Mir al-Islam, the booklet, The Mysterious Beggar. Mm. Yeah, he had so much money, and when he died, he wanted that money to be buried with him. That is the extreme, you know, case of a person who's madly in love with money. It doesn't happen. You know, that was a case where the person, but then again, he, you know, he went to retrieve that money as well. So, you know, if you have a lot of wealth, when you die, your children are not going to bother, you know, who you were if you haven't given them that education. Mm. You know, they're going to be after. You know, there was a real time story of Maulana Sahab told me. He went to offer a janaza. He didn't tell me in his bayan, he was mentioning. He went to a janaza, and the father was a rich person. He had two sons. So he made a, he wrote a letter. The father, before he died, he had two letters that he gave to Imam Sahab. One of the letters said, whoever does not offer my janaza, he can take my wealth, and part of my wealth. So he did an announcement. Even the sons moved back and said, we want the wealth of dad. So therefore, also janaza na panne, because that's what he said. That's and right. Then one buzurg, an old person, he came forward and he goes, no, no, I want to read janaza. And then Imam Sahab says, hold on a minute. After the janaza, he says, there's another letter. Whoever offered my janaza, my first will is cancelled. And whoever offered my janaza takes all my wealth. Which is wrong, because the children, you know, do take part in inheritance. It's a lesson. You know, I'm doing it from a lesson purpose, that look, greed doesn't get you anywhere. They were greedy that they're going to get the wealth, but they didn't get anything. In the same way, you know, how much are you going to eat, you know, and how much are you going to earn haram? One day you're going to get caught. Drug dealers, alcoholics, all these guys, the majority of the drug dealers, they die in their youth. They die in their, you know, jawani. Majority of them, if you see them, yeah, they're either 17, 18, 19, up to about 20 or 30, they'll get caught, they'll be spending their time in
getting caught. They said that there's about 10 years, it's like a transition of about 10 years.
So 10 years, you're going to enjoy yourself, and then for the rest of the whole life, you're going to regret it. So what's the point? You know, have the trust in Allah Ta'ala. Money is not always happiness. I have seen people, you know, there was this guy I was talking to, he goes, I work 7 days, I earn a lot of wealth, but I don't give time to my family. On the other hand, there's a guy, he goes, I don't earn much, like, you know, I have a very good time with my family. I definitely would choose the time with the family.
SubhanAllah.
You know, no, sukoon, alhamdulillah.
I think this is what we need to choose, Hafizab. Sometimes we think it's all, and this is, we're talking about haram, because when it's halal, alhamdulillah, you know, that's the best of income too.
Sure.
When it's halal, when you've got a business and you have your own income, and alhamdulillah, this is beautiful. This is pure. You know, what can we say? Alhamdulillah, no doubt you'll give much more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wealth will bring you ease and happiness. Inshallah, yes, it can. By the way, wealth does, in some ways, bring some sort of happiness, my dear viewers. But remember, satisfaction is not dependent upon wealth. No.
Usman Ghani had wealth, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He would give openly. You know, when that caravan came with camels and he gave everything free to the people of Medina, that's what you call a person who's wealthy from the heart and is given a lot.
Hafiz Sahab, Jazakallahu khairah for giving us your time, mashallah. May Allah Ta'ala truly, inshallah, keep you happy.
Ameen.
Plenty true happiness and barakah in your wealth, inshallah. My dear viewers of Mandir, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. That's all for now. Continue to recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun